Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 350 for November 29th, 2015, Don Donfris.
Hello, everybody.
David Jewart.
Hi, everyone.
And no, it's not a beer cast. It's John Thomas.
Hey, everybody.
So tonight, we're going to continue our advanced planning for Walt Disney World Vacations series, this time talking about planning for a summer vacation. I mean, what better thing to talk about right as we're getting into the teeth of winter? We'll be talking about planning for the heat of summer. But before we get to that discussion, I do want to remind you that the Diz Dads podcast is now sponsored by Fantastic Memories Travel and its Mouse Master Travel Group. The Mouse Master Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mouse Master agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. So we really are kind of getting this out right as folks who are planning summer vacations ought to be getting ready for making dining reservations and things like that. And maybe a good way to start out here is to just go around and talk about some of the things that you all enjoy about summer at Walt Disney World. Because we hear all the complaints about it's too hot and it's crowded and all of these things. What are some of the quick highlights about summer at Walt Disney World? And Dave, you're a sort of a, you know, definite veteran here of Walt Disney World summers. You've done these, you know, middle of summer trips now at least the last 3 years in a row. So what do you like about these midsummer trips?
I mean, besides the heat and the crowds and Brazilian tour groups and the fact that I'm a masochist, I guess. I don't know. No, to me, and I know I've said this on previous podcasts, Disney isn't Disney without it being hot and crowded, and it's just the way it has to be for me. growing up in a family of teachers, now being married to a teacher, we don't get the opportunity to just go in April without having to significantly arrange our lives around it. Whereas in the summer, you know, kids are off, wife's off, it's easier to get the trip in, and it's easier to get a longer trip in. So, one thing we like to do, and you know, we've kind of gone back and forth about this the last couple of years, is should we do two shorter trips? And we've still settled on the one longer trip because you get there, you're there for an extended period of time. Yes, it's hot. Yes, it's crowded. But with, you know, the propensity to plan, the fact that we are there for a longer trip, so we don't have to cram as much in a 2 or 3 or 4 day period, we can kind of, you know, spread stuff out over 6 or 7 or 8 days. And enjoy it and enjoy the pools. The parks are open longer. It is hotter, so you're not worried about jumping in a heated pool and getting out and it's 55. I mean, stuff like that. Yes, it's more crowded, but because there's more people there, Disney plays to that. So longer hours, parks open till 2 a.m. It opens earlier. You know, you might sneak in a day where, you don't have extra magic hours in the morning, but they just open the park at 8 instead of 9.
Right.
And
right.
No one knows. And you get there at 8 and you're like, holy mackerel. You have people on property that do, but other people, they're still not coming in that early. So I don't know. It's kind of a quick overview, but but I mean, really, that's why we like summer, I guess.
All right. Well, you know, I'm seeing John in the chat room saying, hey, don't take all my stuff. So John, talk about some of the things that Dave left you that are the reasons you enjoy summer.
Well, I don't know what all's left. Well, actually, well, one thing that really comes to mind, you know, summer vacation, and David was saying, you know, that they're teachers, and most people usually go on a big vacation in the summer, so – for us, that's usually when we go. So it's like a traditional thing. It's like it's not a true summer vacation until, you know, we get out to Disney, if we can get out to Disney. But also Dole Whips, you know, they taste even better when it's hot out. You know, then during the wintertime when it's 50, 60 degrees, whenever you get that cold, they still taste great, but they just seem to mean more and have the better taste whenever it's real hot and sweltering outside.
Well, you have to eat them faster too.
Yeah.
It turns into as much of a drink as it does.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you have two or three in the same time, right?
Yeah.
But, and as long as, you know, you're taking those, like, get up early, what we always do, because we usually go in the summertime. We get up early. We go early. We make sure we take breaks in the middle of the afternoon when it's the hottest. We go swimming. We take naps even. Take a cool shower before we go back out, and then take advantage of those late hours that they have in the evening. So whenever it's not quite as hot, you don't have the sun beating down on you.
Right.
Sure. And the pool, you know, the pools, of course, but the water parks. You know, it's a really great time to take advantage of those great water parks that they have whenever it's hot like that outside. You really get a lot out of them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think they get overlooked, especially for folks who are used to traveling in the fall. You know, when park hours are shorter, you feel more pressure to take advantage of those park hours. And so I think a lot of times the water parks kind of get forgotten. How about you, Don? Anything that we haven't talked about yet that, you know, you especially enjoy about summer in particular?
What we like about the summer is the longer hours, especially in the evening. We're more evening people. So for us to be out late is not a problem. And we enjoy that. Plus it's a little darker, a little cooler. And, you know, that's one of the things that we like are the longer sure. hours and, the ability to do the things later. It's not our first choice on going in the summer, but now that my daughter is, in high school, taking off during the fall or winter months is pretty difficult. So this is what we're being pushed into. plus, it seems like her volleyball clubs keep wanting to travel to Orlando
right.
for their tournament. So we were there last year for the tournament, which was it worked out kind of cool because she was playing in mid-afternoon, so my wife and I would go early in the morning, hit some stuff, go to her tournament in the afternoon and early evening, and then go back to the parks late at night.
Nice.
Because she couldn't travel with us during the tournament. so that was kind of fun like that. So, I enjoy that. The heat doesn't kill me. I could deal with it pretty well. And it's, I guess, and it's not as bad if you're kind of a veteran of going to Disney, because at this point now we don't have to rush to get to every single ride that we want to get to.
Sure.
We don't have to hit all the little rides. If the time's convenient, we can do it. You know, if we got fast passes, that's great. But if we don't want to wait in line, we don't have to wait in line. There's not that many things that we have to do every trip.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice like that, where we can just be more relaxed and be more worried about hitting some of the sideshows and some of the off the beaten track kind of things, because those aren't as crowded anyway. So it's nice in that respect of, you know, traveling that time, we don't have to worry about that stuff. You know, we can,
right.
You know, if it's too busy, well, we'll get it next time. You know, it's not that big a deal.
Well, and I'll just kind of extend this, because I think we've kind of talked around this particular issue quite a bit. And that is that one of the big advantages of summer is that everything's open. You know, we went through the list of closures, and, you know, when we were talking about planning for winter and even to some extent spring, you know, we were going through these relatively long lists of attractions that were going to be closed or offline, and, you know, things that were going to be refurbed, and there was cool stuff coming, but, you know, we're not even talking about the major construction projects. It's just a matter of attractions that, you know, this is winter is when the water rides get redone. And even in the spring, you know, there are a number of attractions that maybe will be open again, maybe won't. In the summer, and particularly this summer, there's very little that is, you know, a regular part of Walt Disney World that's normally open that won't be open. And, you know, to what Don was just saying, a lot of those kind of maybe less well-known or less well-publicized additional entertainment, you know, elements that some of them may operate during the off-season times. They may do a couple of shows. You know, those things are out in full force. And so there's some great opportunities to experience and see things that just aren't there if you're traveling in off seasons. You know, that was my biggest revelation from our trip this past summer, was that there were just so many things that I didn't realize I'd missed. And it was pretty cool.
Well, and to that point, you know, with FastPass Plus, like Don said, you can go early, get a few things in, go through your middle of the day, whether it's, you know, going to a volleyball tournament or whatever. You can have those fast pass pluses for later in the afternoon for the stuff you want to do, and then just fill in with the kind of off the beaten path neat things that are off to the side that not a lot of people know about. They're not, you know, people aren't going to Epcot for this, for the Voices of Liberty,
right?
But yeah, it's a fun show to take in if you've already done the two or three things that you want to do. So, and there's beer right there, so but I mean, you know what I mean? You can, with the advent of FastPass Plus, it makes the ability to enjoy summer different, I guess.
Right. No, I agree. Okay. So let's kind of take this to the next step. And that's to start to focus on the things that you want to do to prepare for a summer trip when you're looking ahead. And I want to start by kind of going around to various you know, destinations or locations at Walt Disney World and maybe focus on some of the things that are either especially good to do in the summer because, you know, they're best during those late night times, for example, or early morning times. Or maybe things that have been offline and aren't available, but, you know, will be starting with the summer. And we can kind of work our way around. You know, there's not, I guess, a ton in the Magic Kingdom that'll be newly open, but, you know, I think this may be the first summer at the Magic Kingdom where really we have the entire new Fantasyland project completely done, because even the extensions of the castle should be done by this summer.
So will the what do they call that in the front? The I'm losing my mind here tonight.
Oh yeah, the hub.
The hub that should be completed as well.
Yes.
Yes.
And Jungle Skipper's restaurant should be done. Oh, that should be done here in the next couple weeks, but I mean, I'm not going to be there till June, so that's top of my list for Magic Kingdom.
All right, John, but anything that you would suggest in particular to watch for in Magic Kingdom?
Well, you kind of discussed it, like the new restaurant that they're opening there. That's something I was looking forward to doing the next time that I go. And I really like the idea of the way that they redid the hub and making it easier for everybody to crowd in there, especially during the fireworks show at the end of the night. They can get a lot of people right there in the middle there where you have excellent views. So I think that's something that even though it's probably done now, but it will be able to be taken advantage of during the summer.
Just a quick question with the Jungle Skipper's restaurant. Are they changing Liberty Tree Tavern's restaurant or menu also? Did I read that somewhere?
Yeah, you did read it someplace. I thought, I remember it too, something.
Well, now I don't know if Liberty Tree is getting a lot of new menu. I suspect they'll get some, and the reason I suspect they'll get some is, and we talked about this recently on the podcast about you know, new restaurants that just came out a couple of weeks ago here. You know, when Liberty Tree reopens, you know, because they're closed for refurbishment. Actually, I guess they're just they're just reopening later this month, because we're recording this in November. So by the end of November, Liberty Tree is supposed to be reopened. And I expect that they'll get some new menu items just because they're getting a new kitchen, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that's part of Skipper's, right? I mean, the Skipper's mm-hmm. and Liberty Tree Tavern back up to each other. And so they'll be sharing a kitchen. And I don't know if I've seen anything actually, you know, published yet. But I expect that we'll get at least some menu updates just because they'll get some better, you know, new equipment and new flexibility in the kitchen when they complete the redo there.
Okay.
Didn't they just one of the other ones kind of change the menu up to the one of the other counter services?
Well, yeah, we did get new menus at Tortuga Tavern.
Yeah, and, that was it.
And at Pecos Bills. Yeah, they both got new menus. And we're hearing rumors lately that we may get something new in the Tomorrowland Terrace area, although I can't imagine that that'll be open in time for summer.
No, not at the rate they go.
Even if that is the, you know, among the 5 days a year it's open.
Nice.
All right, so that's Magic Kingdom. You know, Magic Kingdom, I think it's been gearing up for this summer for about two years now, and I think it's finally getting there. Mm-hmm. The hub work that John was talking about, I think, is a big piece of that. The expanded hub is going to make a big difference. You know, they had just started using that back pathway out of Magic Kingdom when we were there in June, and mm-hmm. it made exiting Magic Kingdom after fireworks so much easier.
Nice. Nice. I got one more thing, and that's Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
It was closed last time I was there.
Right.
So a year ago, going back a year later for your quote-unquote yearly visit. Yeah. So.
That's right. Pirates will be back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so that's Magic Kingdom. We will have some new dining stuff going on there, clearly. And I think overall the biggest difference is that with the construction and the hub done and the walls down and all of that, it's just going to feel more open this summer than it did last summer and, you know, in the last kind of, you know, time frames where it's been crowded there. I think it's felt a little extra crowded because it gets a little claustrophobic with construction walls next to you.
Right, right. Yeah.
So that's Magic Kingdom. Let's bounce over to Epcot, because there's actually some good sort of movement at Epcot that'll be, you know, coming for this summer. Some big stuff, John. What are you excited for?
Well, one thing I'm always excited for anytime I go to Epcot is going over to the Germany Pavilion. So I can get my Schafferhofer grapefruit Hefeweizen. So, and that, you know, the grapefruit beer fits in very well with summer.
That's true. Well, it does.
Yes.
And Dave, how about you? Anything in particular that you're looking forward to this summer in Epcot?
I'm excited for Frozen. And I say that as an 8-year-old girl who will be 9. Yes. No, so Epcot's going to end up being a 2-day park for us now with the little ones. I mean, we've always been able to do it for 2 days, but mostly our focus has been on Hollywood Studios for the second day of those two.
Okay.
Because of Jedi Training Academy and some of the things that were going on, it needed 2 days because of timing. Now Epcot, I mean, heck, we're going to have to who knows how Fastpass is going to shake out. You know, both Soarin' and Frozen are going to be tier one. So, I mean, I'm just assuming. So it's 2 days there to make sure you get it, because it should be back, right? Soarin' should be back end of June.
So that's the other one.
That's what they're talking about.
They haven't said anything official, but I think that the, you know, the rumored dates at least have been, you know, early June. Mostly, I think what I've seen around has suggested even June 1st. And those who take a longer view even are saying, you know, June 16th. So, you know, still early summer, they're expecting that we'll have, you know, Soarin' Over the World opening at Epcot.
Yeah, that's the one you were teeing up for me, and I totally missed.
You missed the law, buddy.
I was chomping at the bit at that, too, going, yeah, so.
Well, and you know, to that point, and I was making fun of the fact that we were talking about, you know, those both being tier one fast passes, but, you know, there's a little more to that because, you know, it's not just that we're getting a new film and a new, you know, projection system for Soarin'. There's another big piece to this, and that is that Soarin's capacity, assuming they don't do anything else weird, yeah, Soarin's capacity is going to increase by a third.
Yep.
50%.
Yeah. Yep. You put that third screen in, that's going to either help or hurt. It just depends.
Well, it can only help. I mean,
yeah. I mean, you're right, and that.
I mean, there's certainly so many people going. There's certainly so many people that can go.
That's true. But I mean, that in tandem with, you know, I mean, I don't think that Frozen Mania has worn off completely. So when Norway reopens, that's going to be a huge draw. But you can't go there till 11. So.
Well, that's true. That's the interesting piece, right? Is that one of the most popular attractions, as at least one of the, you know, expected to be most popular attractions in Epcot, is going to be an attraction that, you know, won't open until 2 hours after the rest of the park opens.
I wonder if that's going to prompt them to maybe change that.
That's a good question.
At least for that pavilion.
Well, they would just do it for the whole thing if they were going to do it, I would think. They're not going to.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question because remember that, you know, you already have the restaurant in Norway opening early because, you know, they do that, you know, princess breakfast that starts before the park even opens. Yeah. So it wouldn't be maybe as unusual to open just the Norway pavilion early as it might be otherwise.
Yeah, you got a point there. Got a point there.
I have a plan. Disney needs to be listening to this. So someone shoot Disney an email real quick. I'll wait.
Okay.
All right. So here's what happens. You open everything to the left to Norway, which also opens Mexico, which means kava for breakfast.
I was just going to say tequila sunrises for breakfast.
And breakfast burritos.
And breakfast burritos. Yes. Okay. That was my PSA for the day.
I vote for it.
I second that.
I'm sure it's unanimous here.
Yeah, I believe it's passed by acclamation. Disney, get on that.
Yes.
All right. So anything else there about Epcot, Don? You seem like you were wanting to talk about some stuff here, and I don't know if I stole all your thunder from Soarin'.
Yeah, pretty much Soarin'. I mean, but it's nice to see a few things going on. Obviously, we've talked about this before. It would be nice to see some other stuff happen in Epcot, but I'm excited about Soarin'. That's always my wife's favorite ride because she's not a thrill ride person. So she's just like, that's always, you know, we've always got to do that. Always.
Right.
You know, there's no question about that one.
Is there something permanent going into Innovations, whichever direction I can't think is closed right now?
Well, we did have the first of the new Innovations pieces open that actually just opened this last, you know, early November here. And that's the Glidden coloration. Yeah. Coloration thing, which looks decent, actually, I think. I mean, it's a reasonable replacement for what it's replacing, which is replacing the Piggyback Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I want to see it. I think it's targeted probably for younger kids than my kids, but I think we need some of that kind of stuff in Epcot anyway, so I'm not going to complain really that they've done that, that they've brought something that's a little more younger kid focused into Innovations there. I mean, I don't know that it it has the science aspect of it much like I mm-hmm. wish it did for interventions. But let's be honest, Piggy Bank Adventure didn't either.
It would seem based thing put out there, you know, for futuristic things. It would be neat. Sort of kind of like they do with the, you know, 3D at the end of Spaceship Earth with the bodywork stuff with the 3D, but more of a hologram. If they could, you know, harness that technology and focus it, put it there in interventions, that'd be a great place for it, you know, to show the future of where we're going.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. There's still an awfully lot of space over there in interventions that just is, you know, waiting for an update of some sort. And I don't know that any of us know what's coming. At this point, we can just kind of, you know, it's a matter of wishful thinking, I guess. and we'll wait and see. But at least I would say this. The one hopeful piece is that there's new things getting open in Epcot that will absorb some capacity and give folks stuff to do in Epcot. And thank God they're getting that stuff open before the biggest of the crowds hit at Hollywood Studios, where so much is closed.
That park's open.
Well, and Don, you didn't want us to forget that, you know, there are also a couple other things that, well, at least one other thing that's getting itself open in Epcot.
Oh, gosh. I told you my brain's going tonight.
He's teeing these up for us. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember. I'm sorry.
You just typed it, Don.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Gosh, it's bad. Yeah, that's real exciting. Pixar Shorts is replacing Captain EO.
Yay.
So is that going to be a big draw or what?
Hey, all I know is that I'm glad that EO's finally gone.
I kind of wanted my daughter, so we didn't get to see it. I kind of wanted her to see it just to see it, you know, because it was Michael Jackson.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But other than that, it's
YouTube.
YouTube.
So I mean, hopefully the Pixar thing. Hopefully the Pixar thing is decent at least.
Yeah, well, and I don't think it's just Pixar. It's Disney and Pixar Shorts. I don't know. I'm skeptical at this point. I guested recently on another podcast, and we talked about this. And, you know, it just seemed a little bit ironic to me that they were announcing this opening at Epcot at about the same time that they were, sending out a new best of Pixar Shorts Blu-ray to Disney Movie Club members.
Yeah, yeah.
Releasing it on Netflix. Yeah. Like, are we getting the same thing?
Yeah, probably.
Well, a shorter version of it, I would hope. That thing's an hour and whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure it's, Netflix. What, 15, 20 minutes max?
So, we'll see. I'll reserve judgment. Maybe it'll be really cool when you put in the 4D aspect that's not available at home. In any case, at least it's not EO.
Well, and it's something. It'll be something new, something people will want to see, so it could generate. And that's one of those things where we're talking about summer.
It's true.
It's hot. It's hot during the day, in the afternoon. You know, you go slip into an air-conditioned theater for half an hour and kind of gives you a little refreshment or a nap, either one.
This is true. All right. We already alluded to major changes at Hollywood Studios, and really Hollywood Studios has a huge impact, particularly on early summer this time around. Number one, the big thing is that we've gotten the news, the confirmation now that, Dave, it won't be a Star Wars Weekends trip again.
It will not. I'm looking at my notes here, and this is what I wrote down. I wrote down no Star Wars Weekends. DHS sucks. My notes. So no Star Wars Weekends. I don't know how you have Star Wars Weekends when half the park is literally going to be closed.
Right.
Physically, just closed. Done. So that's besides the point. That off the table. there are a couple cool things that I'm looking forward to at Hollywood Studios for next summer.
Okay. One, like
being the new iteration of Jedi Training Academy, which starts here in a couple weeks, but again, 6 months out. So hopefully they'll have that rocking and rolling by then.
Right. Yeah. It should be rolling because, you know, they're going to be, I mean, at full speed through the holidays with it.
Right. Now it's still outside, correct?
As far as we know.
Yeah. That's what I read.
As far as we know, so far, at least, it's still outside.
It is cool that they're going to a different iteration of it. Speaking of that, also the new added scene for episode 7 for Star Tours will be in random rotation by the time we get there in June. I'm assuming.
Probably.
Yeah. It's a good possibility that in June it will still be there as on every ride. I would not put it past Disney.
Well, now I don't know if anybody else has caught this. John, did you see the stuff that was buzzing around? I guess today was the big day when it started. You know, the day we're recording was the big day that it started running.
Mm-hmm. Started running yesterday.
It was yesterday, right.
Yeah, it was supposed to wait till December 1st. Started running yesterday. Should I say spoiler alert and countdown?
Well, I mean, not even that, but John, had you seen some of the buzz about this?
Well, just from, you know, through Facebook and stuff right. like that. A lot of people, you know, getting excited about it, talking about it. So I'm kind of surprised that they would do it before the movie came out, but that's really cool that they're doing it.
Well, the big news that I was catching was that, you know, cool enough that they're going ahead and doing it. And I'm a little skeptical. I agree. I think it's a little odd that they chose to start running it before the movie came out. I know at least one person who is a little frustrated because he's a local. He likes to go to Hollywood Studios and there's really nothing for him to do now because he doesn't want to ride Star Tours since he's trying to avoid spoilers for the movie.
He's afraid he's going to get spoiled.
But that aside, first of all, what I'm hearing is it's not unlike the scenes in, you know, that already exist in Star Tours in that they're borrowing characters and location, but the scenes themselves are new. So they're not scenes directly out of the film. So they really shouldn't spoil anything.
Doesn't give anything away.
But to me, the bigger news was that they didn't just stick one new clip in. In fact, cast members were confirming that all of the scenes virtually got at least small additions or updates.
That's interesting. I didn't even see that.
I just caught it. It was floating across Twitter today. People were starting to notice it when they were riding their second or third time that all of those other scenes were just tweaked a little bit.
Like nothing crazy.
Exactly.
It's not like dropping episode 7 into everything. It's just little tweaks.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool that they didn't go overboard or anything. But
just kidding.
Maybe enough where someone who goes all the time would probably get a little something out of it because they'd be able to see something different.
Well, even – I mean if you think back to when Star Tours 2.0 came online, they said that they liked the fact that this was all rewritable and reprogrammable in a very easy fashion, and they were planning on adding new scenes and tweaking what they had. I swear I read that somewhere.
Yeah.
No, I did. Called that too.
No, you did.
Yeah.
And it's cool they can do it without taking it down for forever to do it.
On top of that, I'm just glad they did it because a lot of times they'll say that stuff and it just never happens.
Yeah, kind of like the Toy Story. They didn't.
Yeah.
They were talking about how they would be able to change some of that stuff out. And they did once, but you haven't heard anything about that lately.
Right.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting because, you know, we've got another Toy Story movie that's not that far down the road. It'll be interesting to see if they get more, you know, Toy Story Mania updates sort of in the aftermath of that.
Right.
Well, that's not supposed to happen, though. That, you know, there wasn't supposed to be a Toy Story 4.
There wasn't supposed to be. They've already announced it.
Yeah, I know. It's just it's like, no, there's not going to. It's ending at 3. It's ending at 3.
To paraphrase Mel Brooks, Toy Story 4, The Search for More Money. Yes.
All right. Cynics, you all.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we are going to see, obviously, we've talked about this, lots of construction, but obviously the new Star Wars, you know, they brought it out for Season of the Force. I don't know. Are we assuming at this point that all of this stuff is going to continue operating through summer, that, you know, people will continue to be able to experience it, you know, when they're there in June and July and August?
I don't see a reason why not. I mean,
they got to keep something to keep some excitement going there.
Yeah. And it's going to be coming out on video at that point, I'm assuming. I mean, you just figure 6 month run. It's going to be out.
That's a good point.
Summer.
Yeah, so it'll be a renewed interest, maybe.
Yeah. And they've been pretty okay with some of these movies that have been lackluster at keeping whatever little bit they put at Hollywood Studios up for 12 to 24 months so people can go and see what's going on in Narnia.
Well, no, wait a second. Give them some credit. It's been a while since that. We didn't even get a single John Carter appearance.
That is true. Okay.
They saved us all from that.
That wasn't that bad.
I will take that back. But if Episode 7 is as big of a hit as it is, it looks like it's turning out to be, they are going to ride this puppy the whole way in to the first anthology, and it's just going to be – I mean, the next 8 years is going to be Star Wars, and that's it.
Well, I'm
okay with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, especially with new content every year, new movies every year.
Now, John, do I remember right? Have you been down there when they've done Star Wars fireworks before?
I did not. I've been during the Star Wars weekends, but I did not get a chance to see the.
Okay. So I thought I remember that you'd been there during that time frame. Dave, did you manage to catch the Star Wars fireworks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would expect we're not going to get, Star Wars weekends, but I've got to guess that, again, especially in the summer when they're trying to find ways to extend park hours and keep people occupied, the chances are pretty good we're going to get Star Wars fireworks through the summer.
Well, that, and I think they'll bring Frozen back again this summer.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
2 years in a row, man. It's
even with
it.
The Frozen attraction opening next door in Epcot?
Yeah, why not? Keep it in every park. I mean, the meet and greet's not leaving Magic Kingdom, right?
No, I don't know that we know that yet.
So it's 50-50?
Well, I mean, it's too early to say. Who knows? But, I mean, remember, we've got another princess coming in the not-too-distant future. So yeah, Moana's going to need a place to meet soon.
Well, yeah, they'll just kick what's-her-face out of her little nook over there, and you can go shoot arrows somewhere else. Why can't I think of her name right now?
Merida.
Thank you. Yes. I don't know. It's just a sneaking suspicion. It was supposed to be a 1 year thing the first time they did it for the coolest summer ever. And honestly, if they brought it back, it was pretty cool. We enjoyed it.
Oh, we did too. They were, I will admit that those are some of the best fireworks that I've seen. God they got that dang hat out of the way.
Yeah.
You can finally actually see them.
Cool. They were better than the Star Wars ones. I'm sorry.
Really?
They were better. Yeah, I thought so.
Okay. Well, I mean, we know they've announced we're going to get permanent Star Wars fireworks. At least that was the implication of the announcement about Star Wars Land.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I was thinking.
Is it the same one as last year, or are they reimagining it?
Well, it's supposed to be reimagined because, if I remember right, John Williams is supposed to do a score for it.
Okay. Yeah, so they're going to take the Frozen fireworks and do those fireworks to a new score from John Williamson.
Something along those lines, I would bet.
I'm okay with that. Because those Frozen fireworks, they were stellar. So maybe they won't bring it back. Maybe they'll bring back something. I remember a lot of talk of focus on these small kind of shortened seasonal parties or
right.
Or
well, we're certainly going to have that. Right? I mean, there's the yeah. the Minnie Mouse doing her seasonal dining thing at Hollywood and Vine. You know, was mm-hmm. certainly going to be playing on that. So
right, right. So and here's just the question: do you think they're going to bring back any of the Star Wars dining options this summer? Just because?
Oh, wow, I would that's bet. A good question.
I don't know, but yeah, I'm done. Sorry, Dawn. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. That's fine. I would think they would do something. You know.
Yeah, I don't think they would go from Star Wars weekends to absolutely nothing while they're building the new land. I think they would want to keep something going with that.
Well, not only that, but they got my $200 and some last year.
I was. it's not like, you know, they don't make money off of that deal.
Well, and that's really the issue, right? I mean, if they don't do something, they're leaving money on the table, and it's just not something that they do very often.
No, they always add these extra revenue streams in, and just, you know, summer's when they're going to do that stuff. Now, it would not surprise me if we don't see that announcement until, March, when they see how episode 7 did, see all those numbers, say, well, we're projected to be up 8% attendance this year. Hollywood Studios is half under construction. What are we going to do?
Well, that, yeah, and they need to draw people over there to draw them out of the other parks because there's nothing there. Yeah. So that gives people a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
And at least go there, at least for part of the day.
Right. And that's important. I mean, they talked about the reverse happening actually over this past summer in that they were, the food and beverage folks at Epcot were getting cranky because when they extended the Frozen fireworks, the Frozen fireworks were pulling people out of Epcot over to Hollywood Studios, and the World Showcase food and beverage managers were not pleased.
That doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't. It still surprises me that those restaurants shut down at 9 o'clock, stopped taking reservations.
Right.
Did they stop that that extra dining?
You just
remember they had
to, yeah, like the after hours chill things.
Yeah. Did they? I
think they have discontinued them, and I'm disappointed. I enjoyed it. I went and did it once and had a great time.
It wouldn't surprise me if those didn't come back for summer.
Well, that's true, too. It's a good point. I mean, they may need to bring some of those things back just to absorb crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about actually some of the things that are happening, you know, that should help with crowd level. And the biggest of those is that the sort of rechristening of Disney Springs should be about done by summer. They're even saying that the road work along the street there, the name I'm drawing a blank at the moment.
Doesn't matter. Hallelujah.
International Vista? Drive.
Yeah, like I think – is that Buena Vista?
Yeah, it's Buena Vista Drive.
Yeah.
The Buena Vista Drive construction is supposed to be done. The second parking garage is supposed to be done. That's in addition, obviously, to the boat system and the, you know, moved the bus stops. And just about all, I would say about 80% at least of the construction and, you know, new restaurants and all of that should be back up and running in Disney Springs.
Which will be really nice because we were there this past one. That was not pleasant walking through all that. it was so cool. I mean, to see some of it was kind of cool, but the rest of it, you know, you're walking between these walls, you can't really see much. And on top of that, with only the one garage open, you're walking from one end all the way to the other end. And that is a long walk when it's steaming hot out.
Well, and that's my question. See, I don't want to say half ignored Disney Springs, but it's been put on the back burner because my wife is not a fan of Downtown Disney to begin with because of the crowds in the evening. And because of construction and hearing basically what Dawn just said, we didn't go over there. So I need to figure out a way to talk her into going over and checking it out. And I thought Morimoto was going to be it because she's a she teaches cooking, as a job. So
right.
She likes going to the Iron Chef and Food Network personality restaurant. So I was hoping, and I got shot down. I asked this week.
Really?
We go to Morimoto. She goes, eh. I'm like, wow. So,
well, I think it's going to be a lot cooler. And let me tell you, those garages that, well, I wasn't in the second one. Obviously, it wasn't open yet, but that's really a cool deal the way they got that thing set up. I mean, I got to say, you don't have to drive all over the thing to find a spot. You know, I don't know if everybody knows this or what, but when you pull in down each aisle, there's red and green lights. And it tells you where there's a spot open. So you can drive by. Nope, no spots. Keep going. Oh, there's a spot. Pull in. Boom, boom, boom. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, you don't have to be, driving up and down all the aisles trying to find a spot or whatever. It just, you keep driving. Okay, there's a spot open. Go. You know, it's pretty slick in that way, getting there. So that in of itself, going to Disney Springs as opposed to the old downtown Disney, is going to be nicer, just the parking aspect.
Yeah, and those of us that usually take the bus over, there's all the draw of these new restaurants that they got, the Morimoto and the Boathouse, and, I'd like to get over there just to try some of those. And we used to always visit downtown Disney during our trips, for a couple hours. We get some souvenirs, whatever, walk around, maybe go to Roll a Sandwich or something. But now I think with Disney Springs and the added shops and the new restaurants and stuff, this would probably turn into a full day venture for us on one of our days.
Yeah, I think you could definitely make it a day if you so choose between hitting a couple restaurants and checking everything out.
Even with Disney Quest being shut down, I could still make a day out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I could easily make a day out of Disney Springs these days. Between D-Tech and 1928 Main and,
Co-op.
The Co-op, yeah. Marketplace, Co-op. I could get lost in those stores for a while. And,
oh, definitely.
Do lunch on one end and dinner on the other.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm trying to figure out how many meals I could actually eat there.
You could do three. Earl's Sandwich is open for breakfast or for lunch, whichever you so choose. And is the Indiana Jones theme open yet? No.
Yeah. Hangar Bar opened.
Hangar Bar opened.
And getting great reviews.
So that's the one I want to hit.
Drink,
and that's the one I want to hit. I'd like to hit the Boathouse, but I think that's just a little out of my price range.
That's out of my comfort zone, man. I don't know.
But well, you're gonna go to Morimoto.
Yeah.
But it's not supposed to be as high end. Everything I'm reading about it is more.
Well, it is approachable, and if you look at the menu, I was really pleasantly surprised at the prices at Morimoto's.
You can get out of there. Their dinners for like $16.
Yep.
To look good. Yes.
Yeah, that's where the appetizers start at the Boathouse.
Yeah. That's where the sides start at the Boathouse. What do you?
Now, Boathouse is not really that bad. It's signature dining, and so it's signature dining prices, but it's not really beyond that.
Right. No, I'm bashing the Boathouse for no apparent reason, but I wouldn't mind hitting Hangar Bar. I wouldn't mind hitting Morimoto. I really want to hit the Barbecue Shed out in front of House of Blues. I haven't been there yet.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that because – I had heard maybe that it wasn't going to last a lot longer, but then the barbecue place at B Restaurant just sort of out of the blue, celebrated its first anniversary and then closed.
Okay. I was just going to say between those three and then hitting Raglan Road, because you have to.
See, I don't know if I have to hit Raglan Road anymore because Jack Lindsay's has a Scotch flight.
That's true. I don't know. They have a pretty decent beer list. So.
The bread pudding is pretty good, too.
Yeah. Fish and chips were yummy.
And I'd love to do one of the Aqua cars just to do it once.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's not all that exciting. It's just those are kind of cool looking, that's all.
Hey, why not? It's Disney. Do it once, man.
Well, and it's an experience, too. I mean, it's one of those things that there's, like, as far as I know, there's one other place in the world that you can do it.
Right.
And I'm not even sure you still can do it there, because I think Disney bought all their amphicars.
We're taking the boats and you're leaving. Wow. Yeah, so, but overall, Disney Springs looks pretty darn awesome. I don't know. Like, I can't really speak intelligently about it because I haven't paid attention for the last 9 months.
Sure.
I mean, minus a couple of the restaurants that I had my eye on when they first came out. I mean, I want to get over there. I don't know if it's going to happen because I'm going to get vetoed.
Do you get into like some of the souvenir type stuff, Dave?
Yeah, not a ton, but enough. I mean,
the co-op is really cool.
Really?
They got really cool stuff. Yeah, really cool stuff.
I get into pins, and that's.
Oh yeah, that's my other thing.
Yeah. So. I don't go nuts
with those.
Yeah. Now, do you trade? This is off topic, but do you trade at all?
Off topic
when I'm there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, see, I've never traded at all. Everything I buy, I want to keep. So.
Oh no! I trade there.
Okay, we'll have to talk at some point then. Back on topic. Just said something about Animal Kingdom.
Right. So that's a good point. You know, John caught us from wandering too far afield here and forgetting that some of our patience with Animal Kingdom should start paying off this summer.
Yeah. The big night show, the Rivers of Light. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm sure many people are because, you know, it's always closed by the time it's usually dark. So being able to get experience in that park with seeing the Rivers of Light in that show, it's supposed to be kind of like the World of Color there in Disneyland, the way that they're supposed to do some of the scenes. I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, I am too.
Makes three of us.
Well, you know, I'm actually more excited about it now that I've heard that it'll have some of those elements, but it sounds like it's going to have a much larger live entertainment portion than World of Color has. I mean, World of Color has – it's all recorded sound and the light and water show. And Rivers of Light, you know, the – basically news that's leaked out is from the job posting, right, because they're auditioning dancers. And it's very interesting because the choreographer for Rivers of Light is apparently really well known for doing a range of stuff, including some of the big Bollywood movies, like the big, you know, dance epics in India.
Wow.
That'll bring some fun to it.
You really should. And you know, Bollywood style was mentioned in the you know, posting for dancers. So, you know, I really am now more excited even than I was because we're going to get some really interesting elements that we just don't get anywhere else. That's what's most exciting about it to me is that we're going to get evening entertainment that's new and different. It's not just going to be another version of World of Color with animals.
Well,
yeah, not a rehash of anything that's out there.
Yeah.
Also, looking at the space, I saw a couple pictures and it looks like it's going to be done correctly, if that makes sense. It's not going to be, hey, we're going to drop World of Color into here and you have to stand in one of four places for it to be good.
Right.
Well, the river was kind of designed for that initially. There would be some kind of entertainment on it anyway. They just, the two first iterations of it kind of failed miserably. There were more daytime things with stuff on it, but, so, I mean, in that respect, it was kind of half designed to have entertainment on it. So it's good that they're taking advantage of it.
Yeah. Putting it to use.
So slightly like a slight phantasmic kind of feel, maybe, as far as the river and where the people will be sitting?
Maybe. Yeah, I guess, you know, from the perspective of dancers on barges, sort of like the, you have the characters, you know, on barges, but it sounds, you can't do Bollywood type dancing on barges like they use in Fantasmic. There's not room. So if they're supposed to be doing big coordinated dance numbers like that, I'm just really curious to see how that's going to play out, you know, along the river there. How do you do that? And, you know, they've got to have already figured out a way, because they wouldn't be paying to audition people with that skill set if they weren't going to use it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, if we're playing Disney Never Have I Ever, I've still never seen Fantasmic. So.
Oh, we'll see. So there's already something open at Hollywood Studios that you've never done.
I know.
So quit whining.
There's four things there. I've done three of them. All right.
And you know, it's, I think really too, it's more than just that, they'll have this show open, which will be a big piece of it, but it's also that all of those connecting pieces around it will be open. Right. And the, mm-hmm. it, all of these little elements that we've liked as they've come open, I think it's going to be great to be able to experience them all together contiguously, like they were designed.
Also, Animal Kingdom, yes. At least for me, has started to come more to the forefront as a park I actually want to go visit.
Yeah, and I don't know, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
But this last time we went, I had talked my wife into actually going out and spending at least part of a day at Animal Kingdom. And after she experienced it with the, you know, Expedition Everest especially, you know, she really enjoyed it, and she rethought it and was like, wow, you know, this is something that we should, you know, do every time we come instead of skipping it all the time.
Now, what, did you go this past summer, John?
Yeah, last summer.
Okay, because we were there in June. Go ahead.
Actually, it was last summer, not this year. It was the
so 14.
Okay. Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, this was the first year we had gone in 4 or 5 years. Okay. And it was, I know, I mean, Aaron, you can attest to this. I made fun of the fact that we were going to be out of there by 10:15
in the morning, right?
Yeah, on several podcasts, and we stayed until after dinner. We didn't take a break. We went straight through. And some of it had to do with the fact that we wanted to see Nemo because we hadn't. And the next show was at 2:30 or something like that.
And yeah, then that's what usually would get you to stay in, is, you know, going at Nemo and Festival of the Lion King, trying to get those arranged to where you could see them. You know, that helps make it part of a longer stay.
Well, but what I was going to say was that made it a longer stay, but it didn't feel like it was a longer day. There was some time in between where we could mosey. We stopped and grabbed a drink, let the kids, you know, mess around on the drums for a while, stopped and got some pictures, sat, things that we don't normally do in other parks because we're running and then we're taking a break and then we're going back. We kind of took that break throughout the day, got into some air conditioning here and there and whatever, but there's a lot of shade there. And as much as it holds the humidity, you're still not in the beating sun if you're hanging out back towards, you know, the Africa, Asia.
Yeah.
Where that bridge is,
yeah,
right?
Just stay out of Dino Land.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just stay out of Dino Land and you're pretty much undercover. So we had a really good experience last time. We're looking forward to going back one day next time. And this is even going to make it better because A, construction is going to be done. B, now there's a reason even to stick around till evening or actually take that midday break and then go back for dinner. So maybe we do make a reservation at Yak and Yeti for 6:30 and go back, eat dinner, and then hang out for the evening and just really chill. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's really – as much as it's been said 1,000 times, it's going to make Animal Kingdom a full-day park.
Yeah.
I agree. I had a similar experience.
See, so y'all are going to start believing me now when I tell you that Animal Kingdom is a terrific park. You just have to accept that it's a different park and that you need to approach it differently. Because if you try and do Animal Kingdom like Magic Kingdom, it doesn't work.
No, it's more for wandering, but it's always been one of my favorite parks. You know, I love all the little nooks and stuff and just kind of exploring and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's always been
a little different.
I always liked the park. It's just you have to get there so early Kilimanjaro Safari.
Well, that's true. The safari in the summer is a challenge because you do really want to do the safari early in the day in the summer because it does get hot. The animals, you know, believe it or not, African animals, you know, start to shy away from the heat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you get that 8 a.m. ADR for Tusker House breakfast.
Yeah.
And then right there, close to it, you know, you get out, you pay for your bill as soon as they bring out your drinks. And that way, you know, you're ready to go as soon as you're done eating. Just walk out and walk right over there to the Kilimanjaro Safari, right, whenever they're opening.
Darn tootin'. John's a man after my own heart. That is the way to do it. And that breakfast was better than I thought it would be. I didn't like the fact that you were forced to take a picture with Donald outside, but it was pretty good. And it might have been exacerbated by the fact that there were 8 Brazilian tour groups in there with us, so every time there was a song on, they were all clapping, jumping around, and singing.
Lucky you. It was entertainment.
It helped. It honestly did. I know it's a little weird to say that, but yeah.
And I wonder how the Kilimanjaro Safari is going to be in the evening.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm reserving judgment on the nighttime safari. I'm skeptical.
Yeah. As am I.
Like, are you talking about the one that you have to pay extra for?
No. They're basically have said that there's going to, you know, one of the things to keep you there in the evening is going to be a nighttime version of the safari.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly they think they've got it figured out where there are some more nocturnal type animals that are going to be more active later in the day after dark. And somehow they've figured out some way you're actually going to be able to see them. I'm not sure I believe them yet.
I've watched Jurassic Park. I know how this ends.
All right. Well, you know, I want to wrap us back around because we like to, in these seasonal shows, you know, give some people some tips about particular resorts and restaurants that stand out in that season. And I think we found it difficult sometimes to do that when we were talking, some seasons like the spring, fall seasons, it just didn't seem to make as big a difference. But I really do think that there are some places that excel in the summer, both in terms of restaurants and in terms of resorts. And so I want to go around really quickly and just have each of you share, you know, start with a favorite restaurant for summer and maybe why it's a favorite. And I'm going to let I'm going to let Dave go first because Dave has probably experienced more summer restaurants than any of us thanks to his flirtation with deluxe dining in the summer.
My propensity for deluxe dining in the summer and the fact that we don't go to counter service restaurants. This one's tough because I don't know if I can limit it to just one. Probably one of the best experiences we've had in the last couple years has been Brown Derby Lounge.
Ooh, nice call.
It was completely spur of the moment. Walked in, didn't realize you didn't have to check in at the desk, but was waiting in line at the desk. The party in front of me, it was a mom and a son. They asked how long it would be. It was going to be a 45-minute wait to get inside. They said, okay. I said, can I go to the lounge? And they're like, yeah. So we walked out. There's a table for 4. Kids sat down. Happened to be frozen summer fun whatever. So close enough to see all that stuff. Service was great. Food was good. At that point, you were still allowed to order off the main menu, even though we ordered off of the lounge menu. Right. But great space, great people watching space, great service. Not in the evening, not in direct line of the sun, so you get a lot of shade. But you're outside. It was a really good meal. And I think that's probably it, because even if you weren't going to do a full meal there, you could go in, grab a couple appetizers, a couple drinks, chill out, and just enjoy. And you're still kind of centrally located. You're still outside. You're seeing a lot of action going on. So you're involved in the park, not just the food. Yeah.
I think that's a good example of what we're talking about here. So Hollywood Brown Derby Lounge, that's that outside seating area there. How about you, Don? Any place in particular that stands out for you in the summer? And it doesn't necessarily have to be table service either.
The one with sandwiches.
Okay, the Plaza Restaurant. The
Plaza Restaurant, yeah. It's usually not very – well, I mean, it could be crowded, but it's usually less crowded. It's a lighter fare, ice cream. It's usually easy to get into. I would say that's one of our, you know, places we try to – if we want to have a little bit of a sit-down when we're at the Magic Kingdom, is to go there.
That's a great one that I think people overlook a lot. It's not a very good deal if you're on the dining plan, but if you're paying cash, dinner at the Plaza, especially later in the evening, is a great deal because you're in a great position to eat dinner and then step right outside and grab a spot for fireworks and just kind of relax after dinner and wait for fireworks to get there.
Yeah.
It's lighter food, so you're not feeling all bloated in the summer. And you can get out of dinner at the Plaza for really not much more than you would lunch at a lot of counter service places.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and we don't do the dining plan anymore, so it's just not a great value for us because the amount of stuff that you get, it's just not – my wife doesn't like – actually now more so my wife and daughter usually end up splitting a meal.
Sure.
So for us, it's really not worth being on the dining plan.
Yeah.
Unless it's free, which is never in the summer, so no. That's not an option.
How about you, John? Any place special that you really enjoy in the summer?
Yeah, one thing that I really like doing, it's a little more expensive, but we usually do, like Don was saying, where we usually split a meal or something. But California Grill, we go over there and, you know, get like a late evening dining reservation. Go over there, have a nice relaxed meal, and then, you know, just hop out there out on the balcony and watch the fireworks from there. It's a really great angle, good view, and the food is really good. It is signature dining, but it's, you know, like I said, they have great appetizer, like flatbread pizzas and stuff like that, that are really filling. And so you don't have to, you know, order a big entree, spend a lot of money. You still get really good food with their entrees and maybe a little dessert and enjoy the fireworks.
Sure. Well, and, you know, look, there's nothing wrong with the splurge meal here or there either. So either way works. I'm actually going to mention a counter service place. And I've mentioned it before, but I like it especially in the summer. And that's Tangerine Cafe in Morocco. This may be just a me nostalgia thing, but Middle Eastern food in the hot of summer, it sort of belongs. It reminds me of, you know, having lived there and eating that style of food when that kind of weather was normal for much of the year. It's a little nostalgia. There's some areas there outside, just outside of the Morocco Pavilion that are still shaded a little bit. And so you can get outside without it being too terribly hot and kind of watch people go by. And occasionally you'll get a nice breeze off of Lagoon. So I really enjoy, especially in the summer months, that Tangerine Cafe. And again, you've got that opportunity to either, you know, eat kind of hearty at lunch, and so you're not necessarily needing a big dinner meal after a hot day in the park when you're maybe not so hungry, or you can go lighter and, you know, save for a bigger dinner. So I think it works well either way. All right, let's go back around and talk resorts and if favorite resort and maybe why it's particularly good to be there in the summer. And John, I'm going to let you start this round.
Okay, I'm going to have to go to my all-time favorite, which is the Beach Club Resort. You know, that pool area that they have with the sand bottom pool and the little, the kids can try to make little sand castles and stuff in the little sand bank that they have. It's really great. And it kind of makes you feel, it's kind of a summery kind of feel to it, you know, beach club and all. So, we really love, that's our favorite resort, and we're usually in the summer when we go. So it's our favorite summer resort.
Okay. Good example. Exactly kind of what we're looking for, you know, something that really stands out in the summer. How about you, Don?
I would say, we don't hang out at the resorts real lot. But as a suggestion, I would think if for people, especially with kids, if you're at one of the value resorts, they usually do a real lot of stuff with the kids at the pools, make it really a lot of fun. You know, we've been to Pop Century, and they usually have quite a bit going on during the day. So I would say that.
Okay. Nice choice. Yeah, the value resorts do kind of step up their game in the summer and do a really good job with the extra entertainment for the kids at the poolside. How about you, Dave?
I'll see how John took mine. I got two. One and two, a lesser degree, but same area. Boardwalk is just as cool in the summer.
Except the damn clown pool.
Well, yeah, the clown freaks me out. I get that. The other one, Wilderness Lodge, which you may think is a little more fall, but still, there's a lot of shade.
Right.
There's a lot of kind of – I'm a fan of that resort. Just might be nostalgia for me. But you got the huge lobby. You got the great pool. You got the geyser. You're close to the Magic Kingdom. I'd say those two. But
okay. Well, one caution, that Wilderness Lodge in the summer of 2016 is still going to be in the midst of renovations.
Right.
And although the pool is recently redone, so that area ought to be fine, I don't know that we really know what they're going to be doing summer of 2016 yet. So far, most of the construction has been kind of on the fringes, which almost kind of makes me nervous for summer, because eventually they're going to get back closer to the building. And I don't think we know when that's going to be just yet.
Okay. So maybe 2017 you go there.
There you go. And it'll be all fresh and renovated.
We all fresh and renovated. So the only other thing, and if I could add one more restaurant-y type thing,
sure,
real quick, okay? And your Morocco talk brought this out. The UK Pavilion in the evening is awesome.
Good call.
Just to hang out there, grab a beer in the area. Yeah, if you want to hit up Rose and Crown. If not, you can do fish and chips. If you want to not eat, that's fine too. But it is just a great area being on that side of the lake. I feel like you don't get as much of the sun late afternoon. Am I wrong on this?
No, I think you're right. And I mean, we did.
Plus, there's more tree cover than.
Well, and here's the thing about we had dinner at Rose and Crown out on the patio there in the middle of June. And I was initially kind of nervous that it was going to be uncomfortable, but the big umbrellas there do a great job of providing shade. There's a breeze, and it was one of the hottest days of the summer. I mean, this was, let's remember, it was 100 degree weather in Florida, which they don't normally get.
It was crazy hot that week. We were all there.
And it was perfectly pleasant having dinner out there. And, you know, it was we had a later dinner, sun goes down. It was a really pleasant place to be, and you get a great view of Illuminations. You know, you can't really bet on those tables, but man, if you luck into one, it's a terrific place to be.
And yeah,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I mean, you finish your thought. I was interrupting you.
Well, you go ahead with another restaurant, because I'm
– as I say, I had one more. La Cantina in Mexico.
Sure.
Counter service. If you luck into, you got to kind of hawk a table when it's getting toward the evening. You know, somebody gets in line, gets the food. The other one's out there watching for a table to open up, but, you know, very reasonable. Got margaritas right there. You could sit right on the edge of the water and catch the fireworks. We've done that a couple times, and it was really nice. Really nice.
Yeah. No, it's a good one. Nice. And then, you know, for me, the resort that I would mention is, you know, I'm going to give Animal Kingdom Lodge some love. One of the things that I love about that resort is that, first of all, really nice big open spaces in the lobby that feel expansive, and it's great to relax there after being in the crowded parks. It just feels open even though you're inside in the air conditioning, which is really a pleasant feeling. And the other thing about it is that there are a lot of really good activities that go on in the resort. So when you decide you need some time out of the sun and out of the heat, you can do that indoors. You've got great restaurants there, you know, all around. So, you know, I think Animal Kingdom Lodge shines. And their pool area is really underrated, I think. It doesn't get the love it deserves. It's a really well done pool area with some good shady spots and lots of activity type stuff to keep the kids, you know, having some fun and interested while they're cooling off in the water. And, you know, you really want them to do that and have some downtime.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a really good call. That place is great in the summer.
All right. Well, any last thoughts about summer, you know, things that you particularly enjoy or that you would recommend in particular about a summer trip to Walt Disney World?
Hydrate.
Right. We always remind people, hydrate.
Hydrate a afternoon lot. Breaks. I agree with John. Afternoon breaks.
Take your time.
It's part of the day. Make sure you get out of the sun for a little while.
Yeah. On all of this kind of comes back.
I'd say take your time and relax.
All of this comes back a little bit to why we do this series too, because summer seems to me, for whatever reason, to be a time when people plan a lot of last minute trips. And when I say last minute, I'm talking, you know, less than 60 days out.
Yep.
And to my mind, it's the worst possible time to do that to yourself. And it's not just because of the crowds. You know, when it's hot out and when it's crowded, the ability to have a plan in place in advance makes all of the other stuff easier.
Agreed. If you can plan the first five things you do every day, your days will go so much smoother. Everything after that can be whatever. Now, with FastPass Plus, it's a little different. But if you can plan those first 3 hours in the park and then take your break, you're light years ahead of anyone else who's calling 45 days out and just going.
Sure. Well, and beyond even just, you know, your park plan for a few days, that you have the opportunity, you have options, you have choices, because I think that a lot of people set themselves up for an unhappy trip when they decide they're going to go ahead and make this trip after all, you know, 45 days before check-in. And at that point, there's limited selection in restaurants. There's already fighting for times for FastPass Plus, and, you know, they've got to make they've got to adapt themselves to the times that are available instead of vice versa. You know, all of those things, when you can have that taken care of, it's easier to deal with the other stuff that you have to deal with because it's hot and it's crowded.
Yep. I've said this a bunch of times, but the amount of time people will put into selecting a new $1,500 television, yet they'll throw $5,000 or whatever at a Disney, a week long Disney stay, and not plan or not look at it at all and just say, oh, it'll happen. It baffles me.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yep.
So I'll step off my soapbox for a minute now and say, thank you very much. We've had to say, but, you know, you've heard our opinions. You've heard the things that we really love about Disney in the summer, Walt Disney World experiences in the summer. We'd love to hear from you. What are your tips? What do you think that people need to focus on to make sure that they get the most out of a summer Walt Disney World vacation? They're about 180 days out. You know, what are these plans that they ought to be making? We'd love to hear from you. You can email your suggestions to us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. And participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Don Donfris.
Night, everybody.
Dave Jort.
Good night, everyone.
And John Thomas.
Dizdads rule.